Would you please remain standing that we turn to today's scripture? Let's read God's scripture together, read God's scripture together as one congregation, that today we continue to worship God in His Word. Today's scripture is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. I will read God's scripture to you. This is God's Word. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of God. You may be seated. This morning, it is my privilege and it's our pleasure to introduce you to you, our speaker for the mission conference, Reverend Jonathan Chu. Reverend Jonathan Chu was born in China and raised up in Taiwan, graduated from National Taiwan University in 1964. He joined Campus Crusade for Christ in Taiwan since 1966 and was appointed the National Director of Taiwan's Campus Crusade from 1976 until 1989. While serving with Campus Crusade in Taiwan, Reverend Chu was actively involved with nationwide evangelistic campaigns as Here's Life campaign in 1977, evangelism in 1980s, also being elected as the chairman for COWE, C-C-O-W-E, the COWE committee in Taiwan from 76 to 89, Luzon committee member representing Taiwan in 1986 to 89. Reverend Chu also served as the senior pastor of Bible Baptist Church, Bible Baptist Taipei Tabernacle Church in Taipei from 79 to 89. And he was also the senior pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, for Atlanta Chinese Christian Church from 1989 to August 2002. These are the credentials of Reverend Chu. But as I walking him with him together to in the campus to this sanctuary this morning, I learned that he has a daughter that is going to be, and actually is already a missionary in Ghana in Africa. So, you know, I asked him, you know, where would you go? And he said he would go to New Orleans, where he would say goodbye to his wife. His wife going to go to Ghana to visit his daughter and his son-in-law. It is God's privilege, and it's God's grace and God's mercy upon us that we can continue to serve Him. And it's a joy to see the second generation serving God in all over the earth. So without further delay, I just want to turn the time and welcome Reverend Jonathan Chu.
Good morning. Peace be with you. Trembling heart and gratitude to our Lord. I thank God and thank your church for inviting me. This is my third visit to your church. And I rejoice and very glad to see God's blessing upon your church. And I know that you finished the new church building in June and have the dedication in September. So probably you are kind of like me in a comparatively new setting here. You probably are very excited. I thank Pastor John for introducing me. My three daughters are all dedicated and serving God. And the second one, 2 years ago, got married, and my son-in-law is from the state of Tennessee. He is the director for Intervarsity Mission, ministry in Tennessee, and he is an African American. And now they are in West Africa, Ghana. My youngest daughter, went with her sister Pauline, my second daughter, when he graduated from high school, and went to Myanmar, northern Thailand, and Golden Triangle area for short-term mission to work among the so-called Wa people. And after she went there for two times, and she decided she would choose nursing as her major. And she asked my opinion. And I asked, if you want to help people, why don't you choose medicine, being a medical doctor? If there's any medical doctor among us, please forgive me. I don't mean to offend you. But my daughter said that a medical doctor treating the patients maybe for 3 or 5 minutes, then we leave. Only the nurses may stay with the patients. Well, I thank God for her heart. And eventually, she got married and moved from Atlanta with us to live in Los Angeles. And she pursued her master's degree from UCLA, and she is now a nurse practitioner. And her husband, my first son-in-law, is a very gifted young man, and we like him very much. He graduated number one in his class in mechanical engineering from Georgia Tech. And he worked for a company, had a very good income and living. But he started learning to fly the airplane when he was 16. And now he's 34. He got his license as a pilot, and 2 years ago, he quit his job and to learn how to fix aircraft, because he wanted to become a missionary in a remote area using a skill as a pilot. So my daughter and my son-in-law are also preparing to be sent to the remote area, either in Africa or maybe Indonesia somewhere, to serve God. So I thank God, and I also thank God for this opportunity, even with trembling heart, that I can share with you with my third language. My first language was Amoy, Hokkien, or Taiwanese. Taiwan way. How many can understand Taiwan way? A little bit. That's my mother tongue. I learned to speak Mandarin, Putonghua, when I got to Taiwan at the age of 7. That's my second language. And English is my last one. So I now can appreciate those missionaries in remote areas, in different culture and different backgrounds, and learning to speak different language. So do pray for me that will have the gift of speaking in tongues. I hope you can understand me. My text this morning, you just read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. And my topic, my theme is mobilize the whole church for missions. I have a small correction because it's confusing for the Mandarin speaking ones to tell the difference between mission and missions. I emphasize about church has to do the missions work as a mission. So missions and mission, probably it's difficult to tell the difference. But in Chinese, one is 宣教, the other one is 使命. We, the church, does that mean the church building or the church organization? The church, that means the body of Christ, that means every Christians, every disciples of Jesus Christ has the mission. We are all commissioned by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, to testify for him, to help people be drawn and get to know God, then reconcile with God, have peace with God and with themselves and with fellow people, and now and forever. And that's our mission, our responsibility. Traditionally, we just think that missionaries have a special call and obey and sacrifice themselves and being sent out to the remote areas to do the cross-cultural mission work. But now, we see very clearly that we cannot just depend on those traditionally cross-cultural missionaries. But unless the whole body of Christ, the whole church, understands and be mobilized and receive the responsibility and be commissioned to do the mission's work, then there will be very negative future for missions. But we do believe Jesus' prophecy, she said that the good news of the kingdom of God will be preached to every part of the world. Then he will come back again. And we all sense that he's come back soon with all the things happening surrounding us. The weather changes, the wars, the conflicts, not just between different countries, but between different religious groups, different cultures. So now we can see more and more clearly the signs of Jesus' return. So we have to hurry up, take up the responsibility. We need to rise up and shine as the theme of this missions conference. Everyone needs to take the responsibility. I believe every Christian should be disciples of Christ, because according to the Bible, it was the disciple that was called Christians first in Antioch. So if you think you are a Christian, you need to know that you have to be a disciple of Christ. No exception. So if you know that you are a disciple of Christ, you're willing to be disciples of Christ, then you have the responsibility and you are commissioned to do the mission's work. And I base on Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. I will share with you four main points. Very simple, very easy to remember. The four main points are, first, you. Who is responsible for Great Commission? You. I should say we, because when Jesus said you, I'm among the you. So we all are responsible. We all need to become missionaries. Not the traditional type, but the contemporary, up-to-date type. We all share. We all have the responsibility. I will explain. That's the first point. It's about who. The second point is about how. How can we do missions? How can we evangelize others? The second point is, Jesus said, you are. So the second point is not through doing or acting or performing. The second point is through your being, your life, your daily living. And you reveal a changed life. And you touch others' life, not through your words, but through your being, your deeds. So how can we do missions? We think about missions. We think about short-term missions. When we prepare to go somewhere to do short-term missions, then we will equip, oriented, how to give testimonies, how to sing, how to perform, even drama and whatever. We all think about programs or activities. But the most important thing about missions is not what you do, it's who you are, your being. That's the most important part. And the third point I use the sequence according to the Chinese translation. The third point is, where do we go for missions? To the earth, to the world surrounding us. So we need to be trained, we need to be willing to be sent out. At the church, we always expect and requesting, asking congregation people to come to the meeting. If you attend every meeting, you are a very nice Christian. You are the favorite of the church. If you attend every meeting without missing anyone, you are very good. But if you miss out, well, we will pray for you. That God may attract you, and we will try to have better programs to entertain you, even preaching, lecturing. Without lecturing, we will try to make you laugh and echo. Come, come, come. That's our attitude, our mentality. But rather than come, a spirit of mission is go, is being sent out. As Jesus commissioned his disciples, according to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus told his disciples, go, go ye therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Two verbs, two actions. First is go. The second one is make disciples. It's not make converts and decisions only, but make disciples, produce disciples. We think about multiplying love, but the basic thing is multiplying disciples. We need to become disciples, and we need to be trained that we are able to reproduce, and we will become multiplying disciples. Then all of us will become a community of multiplying disciples. And that's the way to accomplish the job. That's the way that we can have a part in helping to fulfill the Great Commission. So we need to learn to get involved. Not just isolate ourselves in the church sanctuary as being loved, cared for, and secure. But we need to have the boldness and willing to follow Jesus' footsteps and go into the world, the earth. That's my third point. And the fourth point is what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. So the fourth point is the function of missions as salt and light. Salt and light have a common characteristic. The thing is, they have strong influence, but they influence without words. One of the things we think about missions is preach and talk. And we learn, as the Campus Crusade staff and then director, we were trained and we train others how to use the four spiritual laws in a simple way within 15 minutes, and we can very clearly, logically, point by point, and lead others to make decisions for Christ. And I'm very glad, I'm very happy for that. But then I learned that we talk too much. People may not believe us. From a Chinese background, I don't know whether you can agree with this or not. But if you meet a stranger who smiles at you, very warm, then talk to you very eloquently about something, what will be your first response? Tell me, what will be your first response? You believe him? No way. As a Chinese, we are very sophisticated. We suffer through history. From childhood on, I was taught not to trust strangers. Because strangers will give you candies, then will kidnap you. I was told that when I was a boy, I was very cute. You just cannot tell. You cannot believe. But recently, I have a telephone conversation with a sister from my church in Taiwan. Actually, she attended the same elementary school the same year as I did. But we are not friends at that time. We don't know each other. But when I call her, she said, I remember you. You are the number one student in our elementary school, and you have big eyes and long 睫毛, what is it? Well, that's me. So don't trust strangers, because they will kidnap you. They will say good words and give you something good as a bait. So we learn the lesson. So if you meet someone who is very friendly, very warm, and very eloquently, and tell you something very nice, your first reaction, what is his motive? What is he after? But if you have a good friend that you trust, and he tells you something unbelievable, you still believe him. Because you are not believing in some theory, but you believe in a person. So, as salt and light, they have strong influence, but they are sound of silence. Do you know the song, The Sound of Silence? That's when I was in college. I think probably sing by a group named Simon and Garfunkel. My age or older ones may remember. They are very good. They sing the folk songs. They sing A Bridge Over Troubled Water. And they sing The Sound of Silence. What's the sound of silence? You know, the loudest sound is the sound without sound. God magnified himself through his creation. No words, but so powerful. The most powerful influence is not speech. But if we combine it with good logical speech, explain why and how, that will help people. So I'm not rejecting of preaching and talking, but we need to base on our preaching and talking as our evangelistic activities or missions work through our deeds. Through our deeds. So light, salt, and light. So 4 points. I finish ahead of time. That's good, huh? What's the first point? You. Second. Are. Third. The earth, the world. Fourth, salt and light. I think you can all remember. You can forget about me. You can forget about any of my stories. But remember Jesus' word. You, or I am, or we are salt and light of the earth and the world. Let me explain briefly. Talking about you or us. When we read the Bible, we need to see the context. So Matthew 5:13 starts from Matthew 1-12. That's when people gather his disciples and the crowd who has been following Jesus because of Jesus' preaching, because of Jesus' teaching, and also because of Jesus healing all the sick. So a big crowd following Jesus. So Jesus took them to the mountainside, and starting from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, it's called Sermon on the Mount. Jesus teaching his disciples about the ethics of the kingdom of God. So with his disciples and the crowd listening to Jesus' preaching, he started with the Beatitudes. The 8 blessings. What kind of a people will be blessed? And the way way Jesus talked and mentioned should revolutionize our common understanding. Take for instance, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the land." And this is just opposite to our thinking and our experiences. Our thinking and our experiences is who has the strongest arm, who is most aggressive, will grab the land. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, the gentles. They will inherit the land. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom." The poor of the spirit means we see ourselves poor in our spirit. So then we thirst and hunger after God's righteousness. So when Jesus teach them about how to be blessed, right after that, then Jesus said, "You." So his disciples and those listening to Jesus and believe and accept, those are blessed. And those not only being blessed, they receive the responsibility. "I greet you, peace be with you." Now I think back to the first time Jesus greeted his disciples. It's right after his resurrection, the evening of the first day of his resurrection. His disciples, because afraid of the Jews, they locked the doors and they were in a room. And Jesus appealed to them. They were shocked. But then Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Then show them his wounds and his body. And in John chapter 20, his disciples were overjoyed. Then Jesus greeted them again, "Peace be with you." And after that, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." So when we greet each other, "Peace be with you, Shalom," it's not only a blessing, but also reminding ourselves that we were being sent. We receive the blessing, then we have the responsibility to help others to also be blessed. So we have the responsibility. There's a awarded book written in the 80s of last century by a lady. It's about the history of the church missions. The first chapter mentioned one very astonishing fact. First church was built in A.D. 33, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, appealed to his disciples. Then after 7 days, the disciples gather and pray one heart, and Holy Spirit poured down, and Peter stood up and preached the gospel at that place, and 3,000 were baptized. So the real first church of Jerusalem started in A.D. 33. Then by A.D. 316, the Roman Emperor Constantine accepted and announced Christianity to be the state religion. Less than 300 years, a small group of Christians being persecuted, being chased all the places, but they turned the world upside down. They changed the whole world within 300 years. And the book mentioned about there are five factors. First, because they are those Christians, when they trust in Christ, they went about everywhere as itinerant evangelists. So they are evangelists. Second, they are the intellectuals, highly educated people that became Christians, and through their writing and their speech, they are so-called the apologetists. They defend the faith and tell people about what, why, and how to become a Christian. Apologetics. The third is martyrs. We know the early days, Christians were persecuted, even put in the arena, and they have to fight against each other or against animals, lions or whatever. Or they were being bounded in a stick and being burned as human candles. And they were being asked, if they deny their faith, then they will be released. But many be faithful till the end. And story told us about some Roman soldiers who are executing the punishment, seeing the Christian's testimony. When the Christian died, the Roman soldiers pick up the baton and become a testimony for Christ. So it's a very well-known saying that the blood of the martyrs are the seed of the church. That's third. And fourth, is right from the beginning, the church has a very influencing, caring ministry. Among Christians themselves, they share everything they have. And that's against human nature. Only God can help us. It's not being forced. It's not in the doctrine asking us to do that, but because God's love touches us. So we share whatever we have to the needy ones surrounding us. There's a Roman emperor by the name of Julian, and he said that among the Jewish Christians, there are no beggars among them because they help each other. And not only they care for each other, they also care for people surrounding them, the poor, the underprivileged people. So the caring ministry of the church is a strong testimony. And the fifth element is most of the Christians, disciples, are Jesus' witnesses. Most of the disciples are Jesus' witness. So who has the responsibility? You, me, we all share the responsibility. Second part, how do we go about doing missions? It's not through acting only. It's not through talking only. More importantly, it's through who we are and reveal through our daily living. So it's mainly through our being, not our doing. Rick Warren, probably most of you heard about him, very influential pastor in Southern California. We are very blessed to live in Southern California. Southern California, in Chinese, we saw Jianan, Jiazhou Nanbian, Jianandi, like Canaan, Southern California. Once I read about Rick Warren's saying, he said that we are human beings, we are not human doings. The reason we behave, we act as a human, because we are human beings. I remember at the age of 7, I fled the communists. My mother took my brother, my grandmother, myself, by way of Hong Kong to Taiwan. I was born in a very small island. Now, that small island has a population about 2,000. Only 3 cars in that small island. It's called Gulangyu. 1 police car, 1 ambulance. The other ones is fire engine. Only 3 cars in that small island. So when I got to Taipei, what is a big city? I live in Zhongshan Beilu. If you are from Taiwan, you probably knew about that. Well, to me, there's no end. Then at the end of Zhongshan Beilu, cross the river to Shilin, there's a hill called Yuansan, the Round Mountain, and used to have a zoo, Taipei Zoo there. And in special occasions, festivals, they will have animals show. And my favorite is to go watch the monkeys eating Western meal. 猴子吃西餐. The monkey, the small monkey, dress up like men and jump to the stool and then eat the Western meal. They are not evolved to the extent that they can eat a Chinese meal yet. So they eat the Western meal. Sorry, y'all. I'm just joking about that. I don't believe in evolution. When they finish, step down, throw away the clothes, back to a monkey. It's a monkey. He can act. He can imitate a human being, but he's not human being. That's the way we are. We are human beings. We are Christian. We are born again. We need to demonstrate our change, our new life, God's love through us. As we sing, let God's glory shone through us and touch people. In Christian missions, it's totally different from what the society will expect. Politicians, scientists, even CEOs of a company, they are very good at their profession. Their private life may be different. But nowadays, people are very pragmatic. As long as they take care of the economics, as long as they do good in their field, then what they are back home, their private life, we don't bother. That's very sad. It's not like that in the before. But as a Christian, I tell you, can I tell you how to lose weight? Of course I can. There are so many theories. But unless I lose weight, you won't believe me. Right? Can I sell you the medicines that will grow back your hair? I can sell you, but you won't buy it. Unless my hair grows back, then you will believe me. So that's the way our being is more important than our saying, than our acting, than our performing. Okay, I finished the second point. The third point, where do we go? To the earth, to the world. There's one thing very special about salt, and it's that you don't need too much salt. Just a little bit of salt that will make things tasty. It's a seasoning, right? But if too much, nowadays we all have the common sense. Too much sodium is not good for your health, and it's too salty. So just a little bit of salt. I think of the church. Just like in the southern part of Taiwan, Taiwan was surrounded by Pacific Ocean, so produced a lot of sea salt. And there's a place called Budai. They gather the seawater and then dried it. Then they got the salt and they heat it up as a small hill, small mountain. I think of the church as those salt fields. We have all the salt here, but it's too salty. Where do we go? Go to the place that there are very few Christians, and you make the place alive. You make their life tasty, meaningful. I think of the cell group as a salt shaker. So we need to gather as a salt shaker. Then we mingle with people. We go into the world and we learn how to deal with non-Christians, respect them, accept them, treat them with love and kindness, and help them. And that's the way, that's the place we should be and should go. The reason we come to the church is to worship. When we worship God, God was pleased and He abided with us. We experience His presence. Then we were excited. When we leave, we tell others about how good our God is. That's mission. So we gather to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be trained. It's not so that we keep staying here. As Peter in the Mount of Transformation, he said, "How nice, I will build three tents." But Jesus said, "Go down, go down. Even this is the best place. You taste heaven, but you need to go back. from the world, not of the world, but we get into the world. And that's what Christian mission is about. So we need to go to the world. And we need to be light in the darkness. I also think about the church, very similar, like the lighting companies. As I'm getting older, I'll be about 70 years old next 2 months. So I'm quite old. My life will begin 2 months later. Your life begins at 70, right? So you are underaged. I'm about to get started with my life. Well, my eyesight is deteriorating. So I appreciate a place like this, bright, shining. I don't like to go to a very romantic restaurant. The light's very dim. I cannot see who you are, and I don't know what I'm eating. I prefer a very bright place. So I think of the church as a lighting company. We have all kinds of lights. You have 5 watts, you have 100 watts, you even someone with 1,000 watts. Wow, we shine. We are the little light of Christ. We shine everywhere. But the place we are very good at shining is at the church. But when we leave the church, our light dims. No, that's not supposed to be that way. Once I was preaching in the summer conference up in the mountain area, there was the period of motorbicycles. I rode on motorbicycles. And when I left the camp, it was dark, and I cannot see. But fortunately, long away ago, before, there's a light. Wow, that's where light needs to be. The world is so dark by sin, by Satan. And they need you. They need you to be there to shine, to help people to see, to lead the way. So we need to learn how to make friends with non-Christians. Being an old Christian, the one very dangerous thing is the longer we become a Christian, the less non-Christian friends we have. We just isolate ourselves. And we feel secure. And we enjoy. But actually, the purpose of gathering together is so that we'll be empowered that we can scatter. And we can be dismissed. And we can be with our family, our neighbors, in our workplace, in our study, and wherever we go for leisure. We meet people. And mix with people, and we demonstrate the life and the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. That's missions. That's missions. I only have 2 minutes. I'll talk about 1 minute about salt, 1 minute about light. Both at least have two functions. For salt, one of the functions is seasoning. Without salt, it's tasteless, right? So, with Christians, and they have taste, they have hope, they have joy. There's a well-known saying, you can lead a donkey to the river, but you cannot have him drink the water. But a farmer said, I can have the donkey drink the water. How? By feeding him salt. Then he becomes thirsty. So why your friends are not eager to seek after God and even don't want to listen to you? Because you are not salty enough. If you are salty enough, he will get thirsty. What happened to you? What do you have that I don't? They will miss you, and they will try to go after you. They will ask you why and how. And that's what 1 Peter 3:15 is talking about. We have a reverent life. And when people ask us, we are prepared and we are ready, and we will tell them why and how. So it's seasoning. The second is preservative. A salt, we prevent decay, prevent corruption. But instead of being a salt of the world, we prefer to be sugar of the world. Everything sweet, everything nice. We just want to befriend others, or dare not to stand up with the truth. We afraid of being kicked out. But they need to see the truth. So we are the salt. We will prevent corruption. We will prevent decay. That's the function of salt. The function of light. First is to shine. In darkness, you see the light and you see the way. You see the road. You see the hope. People in darkness, they need to see where they need to turn to, where they need to go. How can they reach God? First is to shine. The second is to expose. Why our friends are so comfortable with their condition and not thinking about becoming a Christian? Because they do not see their condition. If you are true light, then you will help them to see their condition, because you will expose their condition. In a very dark room, there are cockroaches, there are spiders, there are all sorts of dirty things, but people may be very comfortable. But when the light comes up, oh, they were scared. Wow, I'm in this situation. I need to change. I need to go other places. So you need to become the light of the world, to shine, to lead the way, to help people see their condition. So let me finish. Repeat after me. You are the salt and light of the earth and the world. If you get it, then you are mobilized. May God bless you. Thank you.